4 o'clock hour of the Wendy's Big Show. Matt LaFleur, the new head coach of the Green Bay Packers. We're talking about it all afternoon, all day actually, here on The Fan. Anthony Mandela with you. Gary Ellerson, the former Packer and Badger running back. And Steve Sparky Pfeiffer here as well. Earlier in the show, we had Cameron DeSilva from Los Angeles on. He was shocked that Matt LaFleur got a head coaching job. We had Eric Bacharach from Tennessee on. He was surprised. We had Dave Archer on from Atlanta. He thought it was solid. Those were the last three stops for Matt LaFleur before he now arrived in Green Bay. So I guess the question is, Gary, which of those guys do you believe?
So I think it's a lot about what's going on right now in the NFL, where you look at McVay comes over from Washington, although he was the offensive coordinator in name, never called plays. Gruden called the plays there. Matt Nagy, he made a call a couple plays in Kansas City, but Andy Reid was he called the plays there. So what you're getting is what people want is these Sean McVay types. These guys, are not. Now, LaFleur has called plays 1 year in Indianapolis. So that's more than what Matt Nagy has done.
A whole season.
And more than what McVay had done before they got the head coaching job.
And you know what I like about LaFleur's situation?
Yeah, go ahead.
Too? When he was in that situation calling plays, every week it was a different key piece of his offense not there. He had to come up with a whole new idea every week about how he, on top of already having to scheme for a new opponent, right?
Right.
Develop a game plan for a new opponent. He goes, well, geez, last week we had who do we have on before? Eric Bacharach. Week one, he's planning, I got Marcus Mariota, I got Delanie Walker, I got Rishard Matthews, then all those guys get banged up, and then all season long, guys are dropping like flies, and he has to figure out new ways, use new tools of his offense to try to win. And I know that they didn't make the playoffs, but when you consider how banged up that team was, it was a first-year head coach, and how competitive they were in every single game, offensive and defensive, I feel like Matt LaFleur maybe isn't getting enough credit for his ability to call plays on offense.
That's what it feels like. I mean, from the callers, from the guys that we've talked to, from the people we talked to today about him, it's just weird. Because I think if you – and Steve brought it up to the first guy, McVay had never called plays before.
Right.
At least this guy had a year of actually putting the offense together. And, he's along or ahead of Nagy and McVay to me before they were hired. I don't know. It's still one of these things. Everybody's trying to find the next McVay. I'm going to stick to that because that's what the Green Bay Packers did, and they think that's what they went and did. They think they found that.
Well, what we want to see is now what he does with the coaching staff. So
we don't know.
Does he clear the table on the offensive side and start over? Do a couple coaches get to keep their jobs? It sounds like the tight ends coach is keeping his job because he has worked in the past with those guys. So I think he stays for sure. And the rest of them, we're not sure yet. The defensive side, it appears that a lot of these guys are going to stay, but maybe in different roles, coaching different positions if Pettine deems that he wants to move guys around or whatever. It sounds like Pettine's going to have a say on what he wants to do over there on that side of the ball. So if somebody leaves, it'll be because Mike Pettine decided he wanted somebody else. And if somebody's coaching linebackers and now they're coaching corners and corners are coaching linebackers, I'm not saying this is going to happen. But if they decide to change positions, he can do that too. It sounds like it's going to be Pettine's in charge of the defense. This dude's going to run offense and figure out what they're going to do with special teams and play it out from there. I would assume, I don't know this, but I would assume he'll get all of his own guys on offense, other than the tight ends coach who he knows already.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody else, I think, he may bring in, and that may mean the end of James Campen, who has been there for quite a while on that offensive line. It may be time to go in a different direction and maybe get a different offensive line coach. The other thing I want to see is he's got a former head coach in Mike Pettine on staff already, right? So I like that personally, of having somebody there to bounce stuff off of first time as a head coach.
Right.
Now I want to see, when he goes and fills this staff out, whether it be offensive coordinator or whatever he does he go and get himself, as I call it, another blue hair, another gray hair guy that is that experienced guy that can come in and be another former head coach that can help him. Not saying that they're going to run him, but just to have somebody as a sounding board that's been there and done this before. It could be offensive coordinator, it could be associate head coach. I don't care what position it is, but somebody that can come in there and
well,
give them a little more guidance.
Does McVay have any one of those guys on his staff?
Well,
I guess Fangio would be.
Yeah, but doesn't he have Wade Phillips?
He's got Wade Phillips there. Wade. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
Zach Taylor's his guy in the offense.
This is all matches up. Nagy has Fangio, who's like 60.
Not a former head coach, though.
But still, been around for 100 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So well, and that's the model. Is what you've seen around the NFL, right? With these younger guys that are coming through. The Packers are kind of just – somebody's already got the plan, and the Packers are following his plan.
Well, Tom Silverstein had an article today in PackersNews.com. We're going to be talking with Ryan Wood coming up later around 4:48, also of PackerNews.com, our Green and Gold insider. But he was talking about – he talked to former Packers defensive coordinator Bob Slowick. Those two guys worked together. They were on Shanahan's staff in Washington. And this dude had glowing praise for Matt LaFleur as a guy who's really, seemingly really, really willing to go and talk to anybody on the staff and not be afraid to maybe sound dumb or ask questions. He doesn't have to be the smartest guy in the room. It sounds like he was willing to go and talk to anybody and everybody in that building for help on building his offensive game plan.
Obviously, Luck was supposed to be the next great thing.
Yeah, he was.
Never ended up happening, though. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but yeah, that's good. I mean, I'm fine with that. I mean, it's just like Leroy's not here, but it's just like Leroy, you know, talking about him and Brett Favre's relationship, mm-hmm. about how they kind of used each other for information about the other side of the ball and would talk about different things and asking each other what they were thinking. There is nothing wrong with using Pennon or any of his coaches on that side of the ball to learn more about what you can do on offense that you're not doing. If you go back and you look at Greg Bedard, Bedard talked about being out there covering the Patriots. About the Patriots had fits trying to figure out how to scheme around Pennon's defensive game plan coming in. That it was not an easy thing to get ready for to face Pennon's defense. And that is what you want to keep. But at the same point, that can also help this offense. If Pennon's one of the more tougher guys to try and figure out offensively to game plan for, that's good. That's advantage Packers because now this young, hot, shot offensive guy can really kind of learn all the tricks of the trade of, hey, if it's this look or if it's that, this is the way, the weakness of probably how you can exploit it or whatever else. And I think he can make Mike Pennon better too. I think it's a good hire. It'll be fun to see who he hires for the rest of his staff.
Now,
I can't wait to hear the presser tomorrow.
For you folks out there who want to call in, whether you like to hire or not, this is big for Steve to admit that he likes to hire.
Because I said before, I probably wasn't going to want it or like it.
And reason why you weren't going to like it, because you don't like the setup of Murphy and Gutekunst.
Because I wanted McCarthy. Well, McCarthy, I like you. That's why.
Well,
it has nothing to do with Murphy and Gutekunst.
I thought you didn't like the hierarchy, the way that's
I hate the hierarchy, but that has nothing to do with the head coach.
But still, that goes to them. Who's going to hire a coach? Who's not going to hire a coach?
Right.
They're more likely to screw it up because you got these two people. They don't know who they want.
We don't know.
Right. So what I'm saying is, for Steve to say he like it because he hates the structure, Steve right now don't even know who hired him.
Nope.
He don't know if Gutekunst was in on it.
I don't know if
Murphy did it.
I thought
he
I read this
no
morning.
Idea,
that,
but Steve says he likes to hire. That's big coming from Steve.
I thought I saw somewhere this morning that just like Mark Murphy had the final say on firing Mike McCarthy, that he had the final say on Matt LaFleur.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's what I said. The decision.
He was nice enough to allow the general manager to come in and be a part of the process, and that was nice of him.
Here's what we don't know.
But Jerry Jones Jr. is going to be the one calling the shots.
Well, yeah. So here's what we don't know is Brian goes to Mark and says, I like this guy. This is who we should hire.
Or Mark goes to Brian, this is who we're hiring, and Brian goes, okay.
Flip side of that, I like this guy. This is who we should
Correct.
Hire. We don't know if it went either way.
But I know one thing.
Yeah.
Something Ian Rapoport tweeted out may not make Aaron Rodgers all too excited. We could talk.
Wendy's Big Show here on 105.7 FM. The Fan, Anthony Mandela with you. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer to my left, the former Packer and Badger running back. Gary Ellerson to my right. The Packers have hired a new head coach, 39-year-old Matt LaFleur, coming over from the Tennessee Titans organization, inked a four-year deal with an option for a fifth year today. He's going to go to the podium, be officially introduced tomorrow. Green and Gold insider Ryan Wood joining the program at 4:48. Mike Clemens, the fans embedded Green Bay football reporter at 5:35. Right now, though, just reacting and, you know, basically just what we like, what we don't like right now from what we're learning about Matt LaFleur. We've talked to guys that covered him when he was in his last three stops, Tennessee, Los Angeles, and Atlanta. And I don't know about you, Sparky. I'm getting the impression that the more and more I hear about this guy, the more and more I like him.
But it sounds like everybody is shocked that he got a head coaching job.
Right, they're shocked. But I'm sure there have been lots of successful coaches in lots of sports that nobody saw coming.
Well,
not nobody saw coming, but people were surprised that it happened for them when it did.
Well, the guy in L.A. From the RamsWire.com, Cameron DeSilva, I asked him after he kind of said, I can't believe he got hired with only 1 year of play calling experience. And I'm thinking to myself, that's McVay. So I was like, well, were you skeptical of McVay too? And he said, yeah. Sure was.
They were saying that was 2 years too early, that hire. And then last year they said Matt Nagy was a year or two too early. So right.
I don't believe any of that crap.
No. You got to get these guys
ready. Who is the authority on that?
This is the person hiring.
That's
who the authority is. So
too early.
This is the authority.
If he's your guy, then now is now. It's not too early. It's right. Perfect.
It's up to the person that's hiring is going to determine whether or not that person is ready. So, you know, if I bring in three people to interview for a job and I determine that guy's the vet. That guy's almost there. That guy's definitely not ready. Has a lot of upside, but not ready. I'm going to go with the vet. Anthony Mandela may bring in the same three people and go, yeah, the vet's nice. The second guy is close. The third guy's got the most upside, but he's not that far away. I'm going to go with the third guy because I can coach him up quick and he'll be okay. And the first guy may be like, yeah, I don't have the patience to deal with all that. He can start off somewhere else and go with the guy he doesn't have to coach up that much. So, from that perspective, everybody is going to be different in this. Everybody going into this in their brain when they interview a head coach may have keywords they want to hear about how they're going to go about doing their job. And if those keywords are said, then this guy who's making the hire is going to hire that guy. And that's simple and sweet. If you look at the Colts hire, that wasn't Frank Reich's job. That was Josh McDaniel's job. Frank Reich wasn't getting a head coaching job at all. It was not going to happen. And at the very last moment, McDaniels backs out. Colts are screwed. Irsay has a relationship with Frank Reich from when he was on the coaching staff years earlier and turns to them because of the Super Bowl winning squad that they had, or they were on their way, at that moment in time. Actually, it was done. Super Bowl was already done. Goes to turn to Frank Reich, and they bring Frank Reich in because the relationship was already there. Other GMs, other owners don't have that same relationship with Frank Reich. Never really put him in the hopper necessarily. Irsay did because he wanted somebody he was familiar with. And that's how Frank Reich got hired. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, everybody is different as far as when it's time for somebody to get a job and when it's not.
Gary, I don't know, you know, as the former Packer, the former player on the show here, we were talking a little bit during the break, Sparky and I were, about kind of the role of the young guy, right? A lot of people are making a big fuss about his age. I don't think it's necessarily a matter of how much he knows now as much as it is having the energy to go out and keep getting better season after season. I feel like Rodgers would get down with that.
Man, I don't know where Rodgers is. I mean, I just think, you know, for the outside public right now, it's got to be right now. I think those guys, the public is whether you like to hire or not. There are a lot of people, to me, that weren't going to like the hire no matter what. And there were a lot of people like Steve weren't going to like the hire because they don't like the setup of Murphy and Gutekunst already thinking.
For the record, I never said that.
That they're not going to get it right. There were a lot of people who, for whatever reason, need to have Nick Saban to be the next head coach. And listen, I was one of those guys that says I'd love to have Nick Saban here in Green Bay. I was one of those guys that says, I think I like Jim Harbaugh, but he wouldn't really be my first choice. Matt LaFleur never came on my radar. Mm-hmm. I wasn't one of those guys because I understand that it is a trend in the NFL. I mean, just like a long time ago, this may be before your time, when they all came with the run and shoot. And the run and shoot was in the NFL for a while, and it was creative. They were spreading everybody out. Detroit probably ran it the longest with Barry Sanders, and then that just kind of went away. Well, then really before that, or during that time, you also had the Bill Walsh offense, which was the option game, and it basically was a short passing game, and if you were a running back, we had that passing game in Green Bay my last year. If you were a running back, if the linebacker played on your left shoulder, the quarterback was going to throw you the ball to your right. The linebacker was on your right side, was going to throw it to your left. So they call that the option game. That was under Bill Walsh. And then we saw that. Then go Mike Holmgren, then kind of brought that here. And then it got bigger with Mike McCarthy, turned it into something else. And then, like Dave Archer said, he goes, I didn't know what that offense was when I saw it here in the last year or so with Aaron Rodgers. I understand how all this stuff – I just hope that – I just hope we have the right one that succeeds. Because if you look at all the general managers that have came from Green Bay, they pretty much all have worked. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can go down the line, all those guys who have left here and got jobs that were GMs, but all of them, just sometimes you don't get the right one. And you just hope that Matt LaFleur is in the same line of Nagy, of McVay, because really that's why you hired him, right? He's 39. He's the future of the Green Bay Packers. He's the one who's going to take you with the next quarterback. I think I like to hire. I love to hire. I don't know if it's going to work out.
You love the hire.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to work out.
He's coming around since the 2 o'clock hour.
I don't know if it's going to work out or not. I mean, I don't know.
Nope.
But I do like – but, man, I watched the Rams, right? I like that. I watched Kansas City and them, right? I like that. I see the Bears. I see what they're trying to do with Trubisky. He can't do it, but yeah, I like that. I love all that. I love to have that. That is the new NFL. Why not take advantage of it?
So we had shocked, surprised.
Yeah. Solid.
Solid. Loves.
I like or could love to hire.
Like or could love.
I could love to hire if it works out.
Well, everybody loves Wendy's.
Sure they do.
And everybody loves it when it works out. When the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's. Every time the Bucks win, you have 24 hours to go to any participating Wendy's and get either a free small chili or a free junior bacon cheeseburger. And guess what? They won last night. So you get yourself a medium drink today at Wendy's and get either a free small chili or a free junior bacon cheeseburger. Why? Because when the Bucks win, and they've been doing a lot of that this year, you win at Wendy's. It's a great partnership. So happy the Bucks and Wendy's are in bed together on this deal. And every time they win, you win at Wendy's.
Do you like the hire of Matt LaFleur as Packers head coach as much as Gary Ellerson does? Yes, Sparky.
I teased before the Ian Rappaport tweet. So we will do that coming up next. I'll read it to you.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Sports Flash right now.
Hey, good afternoon from the Masters Z's Waukesha Sports Update Studio. I'm Ryan Horvath, bringing the new year with some great deals at Masters Z's. Check out the huge selection of inventory at Masters Z's retail location in Waukesha online or at MastersZ's.com. First on the Fan, the Packers and Matt LaFleur officially agree to a four-year contract with a fifth-year option. LaFleur will travel to Green Bay today, where he'll formally be introduced tomorrow at Lambeau Field. After spending the past season as the Titans offensive coordinator, previously working under Sean McVay as well as Kyle Shanahan, with the hiring of LaFleur, looks like the Packers will also likely retain defensive coordinator Mike Pettine. Speaking of coordinators, Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels announces today that he'll be staying in New England for the 2019 season. Former Cardinals head coach Bruce Arians, reportedly close to becoming new head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the Cardinals make it official. They finalize a deal to make Cliff Kingsbury their new head coach. He also gets a four-year deal with a fifth-year option. NBA, the Bucks with the night off following their 114-102 win over the Jazz on Monday night. Next, they travel to Houston where they'll take on the Rockets. That's a 7 p.m. tip. Nationally televised game on ESPN tomorrow night. Giannis taking on fellow MVP candidate James Harden. Harden averaging 33 points per game, nearly 9 assists. Immediately following that game, tune into the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops post-game show right here on The Fan. Major League Baseball free agent outfielder John Jay agrees to a one-year, $4 million deal with the White Sox, adding another close friend of Manny Machado as the Sox continue to pursue Manny in free agency. You can read more online at 1057FMTheFan.com. I'm Ryan Horvath. Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Milwaukee Sports Talk leader. Listen live anywhere on the radio.com app. 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Wendy's Big Show. Anthony Mandela here. Gary Ellerson, the former Packer and Badger running back, alongside Steve Sparky Pfeiffer here as well. You got something from Ian Rappaport, don't you?
I do. Ian Rappaport tweeted this out earlier, and Gary found it interesting. Ian Rappaport says, among the quarterbacks that new Arizona Cardinals coach Cliff Kingsbury has worked with, Patrick Mahomes, Baker Mayfield, Johnny Manziel, Case Keenum, and Davis Webb. Now Josh Rosen, who spoke to several of the coaching candidates, safe to say the boldest hire of the cycle, he'll be introduced tomorrow. Well, Kingsbury, and again, remember, Kingsbury, LaFleur, McVay, these guys are all running in the same pack. But the fact that the Cardinals decided to let Josh Rosen be a part of the interview process with several candidates, as is being reported by Ian Rappaport, may be a little bit different than what the Packers were doing with Aaron Rodgers, because we have not heard anything to the fact that Rodgers has been involved in any of these interviews. Most, he may have been, and it may not have been leaked yet.
We don't know, but most certainly not several.
I can't imagine.
I don't think it's several.
You think he was traveling around with him on the plane, going from city to city?
Not a chance, but well, one guy I know that isn't David Bakhtiari, because I just saw him on Instagram. He's in Australia.
Yep.
So, yeah, I don't know if he's been several, but I guess we'll find out soon.
When is the
press conference? Have they stated that yet?
Tomorrow? It's tomorrow, apparently. I have no email from the Packers.
Okay.
As to when it's going to be.
Yeah. I don't either. You want to get to the phones?
Ryan Wood might know. We're going to talk to him at 4:48. Mike Clemens at 5:35. But what was that, Gary?
Let's get to the phones. Take a couple of them.
All right. Where do you want to go?
Doesn't matter. You lead.
You pick.
Let's go to my guy, Tony in Cedarburg.
Hey, Gary. Hey, guys. Great show today. Gary, I have to agree with you. You so eloquently said you don't know if this is the right pick, but it looks like it could be. And there is a lot of evidence in the past from our own organization, Holmgren and McCarthy. No one really knew who these guys were. Some of them had success in their previous jobs. McCarthy, not so much as Holmgren. And then you can even go back to back in the day, guys like Don Shula coming right off the playing field, going to coach the Baltimore Colts. That was radical. No one thought that was a good idea. They wanted a tried and true candidate. And I think, you know, Gary, you hit it on the head when you said you need someone, not only for now, but Aaron's only going to be here at the most another 5 years. So we're not an organization that goes through coaches. We want some stability. We want someone who's going to be here for the long haul. And this guy must have lit him on fire during the interview process for them to put their own jobs on the line in order for him to get this job. I mean, if it doesn't work, Murphy and Gutekunst are probably going to be gone. And also, in regards to Aaron Rodgers, as good as he is, as great as he is, I think it's a big mistake organizationally to involve any player in those types of decisions. There's a reason organizations have success levels, and it's because each one knows what their job is, and they do it successfully in harmony with the other people. Don't try to have a quarterback be a GM. Don't try to have a GM be a quarterback. Get in your role. Get in your lane. Do it to the best of your ability. Hold each other accountable. But this nonsense about, you know, getting prima donna players and making sure they like the coach, that's a lot of modern-day BS, in my opinion.
All right, thanks for the call. I can make another radio comparison.
I agree with that, by the way.
I can. Well, he's wrong. I'll make another radio comparison for you. Haven't been around a while in the industry. So you hire a sports talk show host, pay the dude quite a bit of money, whatever else, to come in and be the guy right on your radio station.
Sure.
And one general manager and program director make that hire. Then that general manager moves on to greener pastures, gets fired, whatever happens. Mm-hmm. Another general manager comes in, looks at the budget, looks at how much money this dude is making, whatever else, is like, yeah, I don't know about all this. And now that general manager and this talk show host or DJ on the FM doing a music station, whatever else, now they have a conversation about whatever is going on, and these two guys don't mesh, or this girl and this guy don't mesh, and they don't get along, and next thing you know, that guy is out because that general manager didn't bring him in, doesn't feel responsibility to it, thinks they're paying him too much, wants to go in a different direction, right? When you make a hire like that in radio, everybody's got to be on the same boat if you're going to invest a ton of money in some big-name personality to come in, whether it's, I'm just going to, Howard Stern, yeah, whoever, right? Yeah. Big name, Pharrell on the bench, whoever it may be, right? Everybody's got to be on the same page because if you bring in Ryan Horvat and you're going to pay him all this money because of his success that he's had in the past, and now one boss leaves, next boss comes in, and hit Ryan and this boss don't get along and they're at each other's throats, Ryan's going to lose out or the boss is going to lose out, right? in the situation with the Green Bay Packers, everybody loses out if Rodgers and the coach aren't on the same page. Because you can go, well, fire the coach. Four-year deal, fifth-year option. You're not paying him nearly as much as Rodgers. Okay, so 2 years in, 3 years in, you fire him. Now Rodgers has, what, a year or two left? Now you got to go make another coaching hire to come in here and please this? Everybody loses in this deal if these two don't get on the same page. Everybody. Murphy loses because he's going to be scrutinized big time. Gutekunst loses because he's going to get scrutinized in all this. And the Packers organization and fan base loses because more than likely they're not going to Super Bowls if they're not getting along and they're not winning to the same level. This is totally different than a 9-to-5 office job. It's not even remotely comparable. Next question or next call, whatever you want to do.
Want to go to the phones, Gary? Yes, one more before we get to Ryan Wood?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Marlon on the north side, you have a question for us? What's going on?
Yes, my question is this, is that I like the hire. But as far as the terms of the contract, since we know that Rodgers is restricted on as far as how much he has left in the tank, I would have did a 3-year deal. Okay, hear me out. I would have did a 3-year deal with the option for a fourth. I wouldn't have went to 4 years. I would have did a 3 with an option for the fourth. That gives you, so you'll know after 2 seasons where you're at, and that 3rd season you can say, you know what, we're done. And just want to get your opinion on that. Let me know.
I think this, like Gary said prior,
thanks for the call,
coming into this, this hire very well is going to be more about the guy after Rodgers as it is for Rodgers, right?
It's McCarthy. It's the McCarthy Favre Rodgers thing all over again.
So you get Rodgers for, say, 2 or 3 years, and then if at that point, if Rodgers isn't going in the right direction, you trade Rodgers and you start to groom the next guy, or whatever the case may be. But in this time now, working with Rodgers, Gary, you get to see how good this coach really is and whether or not you want him going forward.
Right. And this could blow up. I mean, Steve, do you remember when this all went down with – and then I hope we don't go through this – but with Favre and McCarthy and Ted and – and I don't know if you remember me telling you that when they were done with Favre, Ted picked up the phone and says, "Hey, I think we're gonna move away from Brett, but before I do this, is Rodgers ready to go?"
Right.
Ted's talking to him. This is when they talked. He's talking to McCarthy, and Matt Price said something about like, "Well, he still needs some more season, but I think we can run him out there." And then Ted says, "Okay, we're done with him." This could be, I mean, I hate history repeating itself, and we're going to find all this stuff out later, but Steve reading all this stuff about Rosen in on several candidates, and this, and our guy who has won a Super Bowl, who is supposed to be the best quarterback in the league.
Highest paid.
He is not in on any, and we know how this guy is. Listen, you've already heard David Archer come out and says, man, that offense just didn't look like it was. We knew something was different. Rodgers was throwing smoke out there. Just didn't. Everybody in the NFL knew what was going on. That knew football. You knew what was happening. They knew why this offense didn't look right. They knew why this. But who do we all blame? We all blame McCarthy. McCarthy's offense. McCarthy's offense. He's not innovative. They're not stacking plays on top of plays. It doesn't. Everybody in the NFL knew what the hell was going on. I hate history repeating itself, but I'm just saying, I don't know how this goes down if he didn't make a phone call or he didn't get a phone call, or if he did, I think that's fine and dandy. If he didn't, all these other young boys are getting one. I just don't feel like Rodgers takes well to those types of things around him. I think he's got to be in control.
We'll ask that exact question when the Wendy's Big Show returns. Our Green and Gold insider, Ryan Wood, that's up next here on The Fan. Matt LaFleur, the newest head coach of the Green Bay Packers, the 39-year-old former Titans offensive coordinator, signing a 4-year contract with an option for a 5th year to become the head coach of the Green Bay Packers today. Let's talk about it with the guy on the inside.
This guy's on the inside. Now, here's Green Bay football insider Ryan Wood on The Fan.
Brought to you by PNC Insurance, an independent insurance agency for your home, auto, or commercial business needs at pncinsurance.net.
He is that guy on the inside, covers the Packers for the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNewsGot.com, and us out here on the Wendy's Big Show. He is Green and Gold Insider Ryan Wood, and he joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Woody, we were talking before the break. Gary Ellerson brought it up, actually, about Rodgers kind of needing to jive with whoever the Packers ended up hiring, Matt LaFleur being that guy. What is your two cents on that? Do you think, from what you understand about Matt LaFleur, that this is a relationship that could work out?
Yeah, you know, I've heard that Matt LaFleur is a guy that is going to coach Aaron Rodgers hard. He's got an extensive history, track record with working with quarterbacks. You go to Matt Ryan, you go to Kirk Cousins, you go to RG3, Donovan McNabb. I mean, a whole bunch of guys that he has worked with. So I don't think he'll be daunted by working with an Aaron Rodgers. It's going to be paramount that they have a good relationship, and it's not just because Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy didn't, but it's because this is the NFL, it's the quarterback and coaches league, and it's paramount for any team, regardless of head coach or quarterback, that there's a solid relationship there. If there isn't, it's a recipe for defeat. I mean, that's how you lose, is to have a breakdown in that relationship. That's what we saw this past season in Green Bay. So, yeah, no question that's going to be very important in this case. And it'll be interesting. You know, I always kind of – nothing solid, but I just got a sense that Aaron Rodgers was kind of – he was open to this possibility. He was – and it's understandable, too. I mean, a guy of his talent to be paired with a cutting-edge innovator on offense with fresh ideas, there's some I see some high potential here. I mean – no one knows if Matt LaFleur can coach. You don't know until you become a head coach whether you've got what it takes to be a head coach. It's kind of the irony of the business. But there is some high potential here for this to really work out.
Let me ask you this, because we've been debating this today. Do you know whether Roger was in on his hire, like whether they called him or not? Do we have any info on that yet?
Yeah, I've heard that he was told before and also after the decision was made. So he was in the loop. Now, he was not in the captain's seat. He was not stipulating terms here. That's very different. But he knew what was going on, and he was in the loop. And he, from all accounts that I've heard, he's you know, very interested in what the possibilities are with this match.
Did he talk to LaFleur?
That I don't know.
So basically, they told.
Interesting to find out.
So basically, they told him what we're doing. Now, they gave him a courtesy call. They, like, I think we're going to hire Matt LaFleur, and he's probably our number one choice. Or so that maybe that's what happened.
Yes.
And think about it, Gary.
I don't know if the quarterback and new head coach have been in communication yet. We'll find that out presumably whenever they introduce him to the media.
Well, that's the thing, though, because Ian Rapoport tweeted out, we just talked about, Josh Rosen has been involved in several of the interviewing of candidates going on down in Arizona, including Kingsbury, who they are hiring tomorrow in a press conference like the Packers are, to be the new head coach. That's why I'm interested in finding out if he was actually involved at all before they actually hired this guy to be their next head coach. But moving forward, got a tweet here.
So did we finish that? Did we finish up with that? We good? I think I'm good. Before you go on?
He said that he knew about it before he got hired, but he doesn't know if they've had a conversation since he's been hired.
Okay.
Is that correct?
Is that correct?
That's all I know. I've got nothing new to add there.
There you go. Okay, Pierre tweeted at the Fan, because a lot of people are getting on LaFleur about not having enough play calling experience and all this other stuff. And he says, Sparky, it's a different era, but Mariucci and Reed were both quarterback coaches. Reed was actually a tight ends coach for the Packers and definitely never called plays prior to their head coaching job. Both were in their early 40s, and Mariucci was fine in San Francisco, and Reed has been more than fine. So who knows? How much of a big deal is that to you as far as lack of experience, per se, as calling plays?
Well, let me ask a question. Do you think Matt Nagy did a pretty good job in Chicago this past year?
Absolutely.
He called 5 games in his career.
Yep.
Before being hired as the Bears head coach. He was less experienced as a play caller, in fact, than Matt LaFleur, who had a full season with the Titans. So Matt Nagy was pretty good. Look, that doesn't mean that Matt LaFleur is going to come in and be a great head coach. I have no idea if Matt LaFleur is going to be a great head coach or not. I'm not sure anyone knows. I mean, that's just until you're in that seat and you have the job and you're doing the job, you don't really know how it's going to go. And that's not just with this situation. It's the head coaching job in general. But I don't see, he only had one season of play calling as a detriment to his ability to be a head coach. I also don't see the fact that the Titans offense ranked 27th and 25th in yards and points as a detriment, considering the incredible amount of injuries that offense had, from Delanie Walker out for the season in September to Marcus Mariota to the offensive line, all the issues that they had from an injury standpoint. That doesn't mean that he's a really good offensive play caller and he, you know, just couldn't show it because of injuries. It's just, we don't know. We don't know. What we do know is that he learned from two really, really impressive guys in Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay. We know that he clearly crushed the interview because he had no other interviews lined up, and the Packers made a pretty bold decision in going ahead and hiring him now instead of going through a second round of interviews, which was really their original plan. So he crushed the interview. He's got a really good pedigree. Will he be a really good head coach? That's the question. We're not going to know that for a while now.
Talking with our Green and Gold insider, Ryan Wood. You can find his work at PackersNews.com. Follow him on Twitter, @ByRyanWood. Ryan, you had your latest in PackersNews.com this morning, 5 things that Matt LaFleur is going to have to do in his first week. Some of them, like connecting with Aaron Rodgers, more or less self-explanatory. A couple of things on your list, though. Acquainting himself with Green Bay and establishing a tone with this team, what exactly does that mean as you view it?
Well, it means that that's what he can do right now. It's the middle of January, and he's very restricted in what he can do outside of starting to build relationships with players and forming a staff. But I think that the tone is going to matter. And not just, you always hear about win the press conference, right? That matters because, I mean, that's the only thing he can win in January. But what's going to be way more important is just the tone he sets and the first impressions he makes with players and private conversations as he gets this ball rolling here. And then, you know, the fact that he's going to be new to Green Bay. It's going to be, a part of the adjustment. Not a big part, but it's going to be part of the adjustment. And,
16. So Matt had a lot to do with that, but he was the quarterback coach. And there was a rift to a certain extent, but that was mended. And obviously they had a hell of a run in 16.
I think Mike Silver said in a story that Shanahan and Ryan settled it over a couple of beers or something like that. Or that's how the story goes. Something like that I read earlier today. Hey, for me, being a huge Aaron Jones fan, as most Packer fans are nowadays, everybody is salivating looking at that Falcons offense and how those running backs are used and picturing the Packers running backs, Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones, being used the same way. Was a lot of that brought in by Shanahan, the way those running backs have been used?
Yes, and certainly the ability of those two guys to be interchangeable. I think that was what Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman brought to the table in 16 under Shanahan's watch and Matt LaFleur's watch, and how they blended those two guys. Those two guys' abilities to be interchangeable yet bring a little bit different look to the run game. And I can't obviously speak to your running backs in Green Bay, but Tevin Coleman is a stretch runner, hit one foot, get north and south, has great speed, and developed into an excellent receiver. Devontae Freeman is a very patient, find the hole, and then he has tremendous cutback ability to get to the backside, which is available in the stretch game as well. So even though they both could do the same thing, they brought a little bit different approach to their running the football, which really worked for Atlanta. Those two guys ran for a combined 2,000 yards, I believe it was, and had almost 25 touchdowns combined receiving and rushing football. So they were dynamic, and that ability to use those two guys is certainly what Matt LaFleur brings to the table when he starts talking about what the offense will look like for Green Bay.
You know, we always like that. Well, I always like to ask this question outside looking in. I mean, when you're looking at the Green Bay Packers, Dave, and we had a lot of rift between McCarthy and Rodgers last year, calling plays, didn't like this play, those types of things. How do you perceive the Green Bay Packers organization? Because obviously the Packers and the Falcons have kind of been at the top of the NFC for a while. They've taken their turns. How do you guys perceive the Packers down there in Atlanta?
Well, I think that there was a tremendous amount of respect, certainly from my perspective. I think a lot of respect for what Green Bay has done and what they, you know, what they were able to put together over that stretch where McCarthy and certainly Rodgers worked together. Felt like things began as we started. We played at Green Bay down here early in 17. Atlanta's first game actually in Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Yeah, I was there.
And Atlanta was able to win that football game. Had some really good matchups between those two teams over the last 3 or 4 years. And you could kind of see things starting to unravel a little bit. It looked like Rodgers was a little bit off the reservation on some of the stuff he was doing, throwing the ball. There was a little bit too much smoke stuff, and you know what I'm talking about, where he just raises up and throws the ball outside where nobody else knows except he and the receiver. And that's great to a degree that you have the versatility to maybe get something that both players see. But as we came up there, and Atlanta got thumped up there, there's no question this year. But when you looked at their film, there was nothing to disseminate off the film. If I'm a quarterback watching Green Bay play a defense, I'm getting ready to play, there wasn't really anything you could take from that because it was Rodgers was making so much stuff up on his own, throwing back shoulder stuff when you had a run play called and all those type of things. I thought the real design of what he and McCarthy and the brilliance that those two put together kind of it wasn't there anymore, and it just looked like a little discombobulated. Now, we got our rear ends handed up to us up there, so it's me saying something about an offense that really crushed us, but it just didn't look like the Green Bay offense that you feared, where they're going to throw slants, they're going to throw it over the top, they're going to get the ball to the running backs. It didn't see that. So that's kind of what we saw. There's a tremendous amount of respect for Green Bay, certainly from Atlanta's perspective.
So which leads me to my last question, we'll let you get going. Then can Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers, because we talk about the veteran quarterback, and Rodgers won a Super Bowl, has been around for a long time, they think he's the greatest quarterback in the game. Can those two guys, can Matt LaFleur coexist with an Aaron Rodgers who just got a huge deal, Dave? They weren't paying that kind of money when we were playing.
That's for sure, man. We took the divide up just what Aaron's gotten divided up to a bunch of all of us, right?
Yeah.
I think if there's a guy that can do that, LaFleur is that guy because of what I talked about with his ability to kind of bring Ryan and Shanahan together. I thought he had something to do with that. Now, that's going to be up to Aaron, right? I mean, I think Aaron's got to be willing to come to the table, be coachable, be willing to learn some different things, even though you've got a guy that's damn near the same age he is. You know, I mean, talking LaFleur, 39. What's Rodgers, 35?
Yep.
I mean, so they're not very far apart. Is he going to be willing to be coached? And I think that's a big part of the player, not necessarily the coach, but certainly LaFleur has the ability to do it if Rodgers allows it to happen.
He is Dave Archer, former Falcons quarterback and Falcons radio analyst, joining us here for a couple of minutes to talk about new Packers head coach Matt LaFleur and his time working with those Atlanta Falcons. Dave, thanks for the time.
Great to be with you guys.
And Dave joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our communities since 1935. Matt LaFleur, the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. The conversation continues when the Wendy's Big Show returns.